Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this third Sunday in Advent is found in Luke chapter 3 again, today reading verses 7 through 18. So John kept saying to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, "You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not even think of saying to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' because I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds began to ask him, "What should we do then?" He answered them, "Whoever has two shirts should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. They said, "Teacher, what should we do?" To them he said, "Collect no more than what you were authorized to." Soldiers were also asking him, "And what should we do?" He told them, "Do not extort money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." The people were waiting expectantly, and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then with many other words, he appealed to them and was preaching good news to the people. This is our text. Dear people of God, the people loved John. Later, after John was dead, Jesus pushed the Sadducees on the topic of John, and he asked them, "John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from man?" See, the Sadducees knew that the people loved John, and they knew that if they answered Jesus and said that John just made everything up, that the people would stone them to death. And so, craftily, they answered Jesus by saying, "We don't know." And then Jesus just gets discouraged with them and says, "Well, then I'm done talking to you people." Matthew tells us that these crowds here in Luke that were coming out to see John were not regular people. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came out to see what John was doing in an effort to discredit them. These are the vipers. Now we're going to look at this section today from the point of view of John's cheerleaders. When John says these terrifying things, we're not going to be afraid. But rather, we're going to cheer. Go get him! You tell him, John! We will hear John destroy those who tried to oppress God's people. "For we are the baptized," just like they were. "We are the ones who are looking forward to the coming of the Savior," just like they were. "We are those who are oppressed by the world," just like they were. "We need the good news of the coming hero and savior, Jesus Christ, as proclaimed by the screaming wild man, John the Baptist." John hits this brood of vipers right from the get-go. The Pharisees, the teachers of the people, and the Sadducees, the priests of the people, were supposed to be helping and comforting and teaching God's people about the love and forgiveness and goodness of the Lord of Israel. But instead, they abused their positions, and they took advantage of the people, and they stole their money, and they stole their faith. So John called them a brood of vipers. Babies are supposed to be cute. What's cuter than a baby panda? Yet when pandas grow up, all they do is sit in trees and eat. That's the extent of their contribution to society. Kittens are cute, but they grow up to make me sneeze. Human babies are very cute, but look at the sinners they turn out to be. All those babies are cute things. But snakes? No. Think of a nest of venomous snakes. There's nothing cute in that at all. You just want to squash the whole thing. They're not cute now, and they're not going to be cute later. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When you hear about them in the scriptures, think about everything gross and weaselly and slimy. Just the worst. And John called them out as the offspring of vipers. And so we cheer. Yay, John! The boast and the confidence of this brood of vipers, these Pharisees and Sadducees and others, was that they were descendants of Abraham. And therefore they felt that they were owed salvation and owed God's favor. They thought that Abraham worked his way into God's favor. He worked his way into salvation, and they thought they could do the same thing. They didn't need a savior from sin. See, it's completely different thinking from the children of God who live lives of repentance. And so John, along with Jesus and Paul, tried to squash this thinking. The Lord is not impressed with Abraham or his children. Bloodlines have nothing to do with your salvation. Keeping a few random rules does not impress the God who demands perfection. No, Abraham was saved by grace alone. He was saved by God's declaration of justification. Just being a descendant of Abraham is as impressive to God as a stone. So also the Lord can turn stones into children of Abraham. It's all the same to him. He doesn't care. So John said to them, "Even now the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire." The axe is Christ. It's not John. John couldn't do anything to them. He was just a preacher. And when Jesus came, Jesus looked even less powerful than John did, because Jesus came in all humility. But when Jesus spoke, it became very clear that he was the Son of God. When Jesus came, the Pharisees and the Sadducees each tried to intimidate him. Then they tried to recruit him for their own groups. Then they tried to shut him up. Then they tried to kill him. And every time, Jesus stood in front of them and spoke to them with authority, like no one had ever spoken to them before. It was obvious that he was the Son of God. And they will see him again. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, normally, we imagine the devil to be the one standing with a pitchfork. But, surprise, surprise, the cartoons have their theology flawed once again. No, this person standing with the pitchfork is Christ. As he thrusts that pitchfork into the wheat stalks and then throws them up in the air so that the chaff around the wheat kernels blows away in the breeze and the good wheat falls to the ground on the threshing floor. And then the man scoops up the good, useful wheat. Now the good wheat is, of course, you, God's people, those who repent of their sins before the Lord and those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. You are valuable to the Lord. He is going to gather you up in the end and put you in his barn, in his glorious heaven. But then the picture gets a little bit more bizarre here. For the pitchfork man in this picture does something that no farmer has ever done. Normally, when they threw that wheat up in the air and the chaff flew away, they did not think about it. They didn't care where the chaff went. Pitchfork man here, though, goes out and he sweeps up the chaff, and then he burns it in a great fire. That's obviously hell. Those who disregard, mock, or ignore Christ, Christ is coming to get them, and he will burn them up. And we will cheer. Go get him, Christ. The people loved John so much that they wanted him to be this Christ of God. But John clearly said, no, that I'm not him. I am just a preacher and a baptizer. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. Which makes me think of Easter. Remember those wonderful women who went out to the tomb? They were so blessed that they got to see Jesus risen from the dead that morning. And when they saw him, they fell at his feet and they grabbed his feet and they worshiped him. John says, he's not even worthy to do that. No, when the real Christ comes, he will burn the unbelievers with unquenchable fire. Now, that didn't happen during Jesus' ministry. It comes later, at the end of time. Jesus came in humility the first time. He will come in power to judge the second time. But it's very Old Testament of John to say his prophecy this way, that the coming of the Christ will be with power and fire. Because it isn't. Jesus came in humility and mercy. See, Old Testament prophets looked forward into time, and they saw both comings of Christ in their visions. They saw both his coming in humility as a baby, as a servant, to suffer and to die, and they saw his next coming also in the distance when he comes in all power to judge. Read Isaiah sometime. Isaiah clearly sees the suffering servant come in humility, and Isaiah clearly sees the all-powerful Son of God come and judge the world. We, however, stand in between the two mountains. We can see behind us that Christ already came in humility to die for our sins, but we can also see forward and the great judgment that is coming yet. And we stand in between the mountains and we cheer, "Come, Lord Jesus!" Now is the time of repentance. Standing where we are, now is the time for changing hearts. And the people of John's day had questions about that. John baptized them. He washed all their sins away, and then he said, "Produce fruit." Well, what fruit? How do we change our lives now that we have Christ and his forgiveness? Well, John tells them, each individual group, first of all, give. Give to the poor and to the needy. Look around, have some self-awareness, and see people in need and help them. You don't have to write out a great big giant check to get on the news. John just says, see someone in need of a coat or a shirt or in need of a hand or in need of kindness and help them. Send a card. Show someone your love for Jesus by helping them. To another group, John says, do your job. The tax collectors had a terrible job. They were expected to steal. Tax collectors just signed contracts with the government. Contracts that said they would deliver this many dollars in taxes from the people for no pay. Rome just left it all up to them. Collect what you can. You can have the extra, but we demand this amount. And so the tax collectors did. And they got rich. They collected quite a bit because they had the power of the Roman army behind them. And oh, did the people hate them? They considered them cheats and liars and traitors. And so John says to them, collect nothing more than what you were authorized to, which means do it for no money. Which also then means that after this season of tax collecting is over, after you've handed over to the Romans everything you're supposed to, you gotta quit. Do something else. Sometimes our faith does mean that we have to quit a job, when it gets in the way of our worship of the Lord. Luther said, it's neither right nor safe to go against your conscience. Soldiers, likewise. John told them, do your job. Protect the nation. Do not use your power to extort money from people. Now, you shouldn't have to say that to people. They should know that. But some people don't know right from wrong. Some people need to be taught, and John had to teach them, this is what I baptized you for. This is what you repented of. Don't falsely accuse people in order to steal their stuff. Be content with your wages. Everybody claims to be content, but how many of us truly are? We really need to search our hearts individually on this one. Thank the Lord for what you have, and now use the rest of your time not in doing everything to collect more, but in giving what you have and in helping others who don't have. Again, not to impress God, not to get into heaven, but rather just to show what's already in your heart. Produce fruit. I love Jesus for what he has already done for me. And so, I will serve you. I will help you. I'll put up with you. Until the Lord Jesus comes in his power, in his glory, to judge the living and the dead. And we will stand on the side, and we will cheer. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.